High noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. The odds of me getting confused about time zones over the next few days, incredibly high. So everybody buckle up for that. Shout out to Hot Take Freddy. The video of this dude from Cincinnati saying Jaden Daniels is not that good is pretty funny, especially because his co-host, the woman that's with him, just rolls her eyes and smiles when he says that. Hot Take Freddy just sent me like a drilled down version of just that. Via Twitter, because the internet's undefeated. And this dude, Brandon, replied, "She gave that look you give your spouse when they're absolutely wrong about something, but you know if you correct them in that moment, it's going to start an argument." Then I got another one from CFC Dunks, and I can't read exactly what it says, but it's he said, "That look when you know somebody's lying, but you're listening anyway." It is, I don't know, that clip is highly, highly entertaining. Other things that are highly entertaining are credit pies. And our guy Ryan is in Connecticut. Ryan, hit it.
Hey, guys. The credit pie, it's obvious. I mean, you can almost give it all to Jaden, Cliff, and the offense. I'm more given a reaction that I know you guys had some game stuff you had to take care of after, but it was really awesome to watch Van Pelt interview Terry after. I mean, like, Terry deserves so much credit on and off the field because he gets so much unwarranted hate every year, and he continues to handle it so professionally and with the utmost class. And I feel like I'm a Commander fan in New York, New England area. We've lived a tortured life, and I know this is a knee-jerk reaction. That was a top five, top seven Washington football moment for my life. Like, my uncles, my dad, who have kind of fallen out of love with the team, even they were texting the group chat last night saying, "I love this team. I love this team." And they were saying, like, it felt like more than a win. I felt like it was kind of like the start of the Commanders era. Like, you can say what you want about the name, but if we're winning, I don't think anyone's going to care about the name as much. And I felt like from the owner to the GM to the coach, then to the Jaden Daniels, and then lastly, that ball going to Terry, it was almost like symbolic. Like, it was almost like an awesome experience for Washington fans that have been tortured to see that and be like, holy crap, we have hope. Like, it was special. And we might be a 7-10 team. We might be a 10-7 team. But that was, I felt like it was more than a win. It was kind of like the Commanders era with the whole new regime has finally, finally begun.
Yep. Well said, buddy.
I think
he
was
well
inside that
said.
Tunnel, and you saw the owners walking around and how they were basically all so ecstatic. It seemed like Peterson, a changing of the guard, right?
Totally, man. It really did. It really did. All right, I want to get everybody on the phones. Rick is in D.C. I cannot confirm or deny it. This is Doc Walker. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's going on, man? I love y'all's show. Very informative and definitely keep me entertained.
Appreciate
it. With that being said, hey, man, with that being said, man, I got to give 50% of the credit pie to Harris and the whole ownership group for, one, you know, staying the course, staying with their plan, rescuing us from the old dude, the other guy. I don't even want to say his name.
And then, shall not be named. Treat him like Voldemort.
Yeah, then I got to give 25% to Peters by actually having a plan when he got here. And, you know, blocking out the outside noise. Everybody wanted to go get the Wonder Boy up in Detroit and everything. He knew he wanted to lead them in. And then I got to get a rest to, you know, our head coach and the coaching staff he put together. Like, you can see from game one all the way up to this game that just happened, the growth and that they are actually coaching and teaching these young players, and they holding people accountable. And that's something that I haven't seen in – God damn, a long time with this team that, you know, these guys are we got actually football people and leader men that's actually holding these guys accountable. Where we might not have the best talent, but, you know, everybody's flying to the ball. Even that first series, even though the rookie got burnt, most rookies are going to get burnt by Chase. But, hell, he still was out there flying around trying to make plays. So, long as I see growth, man, hey, the sky's the limit. And one last thing as far as with Terry. Terry, to me, is a throwback. He's a mixture of all three of the party, Art Monk, Gary Clark, and Ricky Sanders. That brother's going to do everything. He's like a humble killer. Like, he's going to go deep. He's going to go across the middle. He's not going to be a diva or prima donna if he's not getting the ball. He's just an all-around team player. And it was just a pleasure to see that man have a breakout game, and man, the sky's the limit, man. I'm about to go to work, talk trace.
I love Good it, call, man. Enjoy. Brother. Real Great call, call right there. All right, we have a Commanders fan that is very fired up about last night. Our dear friend Peter Rosenberg usually joins us on Thursdays, but I think so fired up from last night's game, you wanted to call in today. What up, man? How are you?
I mean, listen, since I first started calling in with you guys, when this show started a couple years back, whatever, what, 2.5 years, whatever the hell it's been,
yeah,
it we haven't had a lot of these, and I always get stuck – you know, talking about something, you know, sewage water pouring on someone's head. Will the owner be ousted? The name. I said after last night where we got to have this national coming out party for Jaden Daniels, damn it, I got to be on with B. Mitch and Finley today. Had to.
What's up, man?
Hell yeah, man. So
that after... was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was. Listen, so B. Mitch, you were gone last week, and I told JP, you know, my thought on the game was it would be a track meet, and in the end, we would not have we wouldn't be able to keep up because I just didn't think the defense would be able to get enough stops. But two things happened that I didn't account for. One, obviously, Jaden played a whole level up than we have seen. He went mm-hmm. up a full whole level. I'm excluding a couple other little things that are important, but I'd say the primary things are that, and our defense did get just a few more stops than I expected. Just a few. I mean, listen, those are still some putrid numbers that they gave up. But in the right moments, there were spots where they got a stop, and it was enough to win this game. And the only thing I'm scared of now, guys, the amount of congratulatory texts I'm getting today is a little like, hey, calm down. You know, I just met the girl last week. I know she seems perfect, but we're not together yet. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's
a little
tough,
scary, but it's exciting.
You gotta kind of try to hold back going too crazy. But when you look at some of these stats and two straight games with no punts and no turnovers, and that's never happened in the Super Bowl era, and all this stuff is just bananas when you start to look at it in totality, man. Obviously, a lot of people deserve a lot of credit, but specifically, how are you feeling about Jaden right now?
Well, listen, he was everything you wanted him to be yesterday. I don't see how you could possibly ask for anything more. I still would like to protect him a bit more. I mean, number one, I think you got to start thinking about, you know, the future of who you're going to bring in to add protection for this guy, even though they did a pretty good job the last couple of weeks of giving him a clean pocket. Who, you know, getting more bodies. Man, wouldn't it be great if we had the best left tackle of this generation on the team right now? That would be sweet. But so you start thinking about that, like, you know, long-term protection. But I just want to see him take care of himself a little bit more. You know, it seems that his style of running doesn't always lend itself to getting down. So he did take a couple hits I didn't love, but I think he's getting better each week at that. I think he is little by little avoiding it more, but I just cannot say enough about him. I mean, you know what you saw, and you brought this up last week when we talked, JP. You saw a guy last night who is not going to be scared of a Monday night game against the Cincinnati Bengals because he's taken his Tigers into Auburn and Georgia before.
There you go.
You really did see that. Like, there was no – I mean, I think the moment – I'm sure you guys have already talked about it, but, like, I'm just remembering now, the 4th and 4, when he's screaming, leave me out, we're going for this? I mean, in one sense, I was holding my breath scared, but I'm going, how do you not love a kid – who's like that, and just how smart he was with the football. When he got it wrong, he overthrew people. He wasn't throwing into traffic. There wasn't a real near interception, was there?
Nope.
No, not yesterday. The closest was against the Giants at home when Ertz kind of just bodied the DB to bring the ball home.
He was 21 of 23.
What do you say about that? And then, you know, a couple other things I just love to see. Obviously, seeing Terry go off is a – I mean, you cannot overstate how big that is. That's just a gigantic bit of news for this team. And hopefully we'll get an update that Austin Eckler is okay, guys, because, you know, they managed to win the game without him. But I don't know if you guys had the thought. When he went out, I thought, oh, boy, that could be the difference maker that we need. Mm-hmm. He was that good and that explosive. So, you know, that's a huge piece, too. And I got to tell you, even on defense, like, Chin impressed me last night on a multitude of plays. There were a few moments there where I was really impressed by what the defense did. Like I said, obviously, they got shredded a lot of times. But they're dealing with quite possibly as good a quarterback-receiver tandem as there is in the league. So,
yeah,
you know,
Chase shreds
I'll give
a
little
lot
bit of
people.
Of slack. Exactly. Chase so,
yeah.
Felt great, guys. It felt great. I just, listen, we have a broken heart, man. We loved before. And the last time we loved, like, don't let history get rewritten. Everything that happened with Robert, we cannot forget that at the beginning, he was throwing that thing, too. He wasn't just running. He was chucking it, too. And it was like, oh, my God, we found it. I remember getting these congratulations once, you know, 12 years ago. So I'm just trying
the only
to
thing,
be patient.
Peter, I had a conversation with David Aldridge last night, and we were kind of talking about it. This hasn't
flex.
Felt.
That's a low key. That's the insider, baby. Okay, keep going.
Yo, DA is just the absolute best. Getting to sit next to David Aldridge in press boxes and watch football games is one of the joys of my life.
That's incredible. Okay.
Talking with DA about 2012 and what this is like and the last time a rookie quarterback was this dynamic. And here's my contention, and I'm curious if you're with me on this too. In 2012, you got to credit Kyle Shanahan for coming up with a system when they brought the read option. When they first started running that in New Orleans, the NFL was completely not ready for that. Mm-hmm. And that caught everything by surprise. Robert was incredibly accurate, but the read option what changed the looks he was getting from defenses early on. And I'm not taking anything away from that rookie season for Robert, but because of the element of true surprise they had with the read option, I think a lot of, I don't want to call it gimmicky, but it was so inventive and frankly avant-garde for that time, mm-hmm. that it was harder to judge offensively what they were doing. I think Jaden, in the second half of the Giants game and then especially last night, he won from the pocket. He was just a pocket passer that was dealing. Yeah. And that to me, and the running is awesome, don't get me wrong, but that to me is why this is different. This is a pocket passer that goes through his progressions and can beat you with his eyes and his arm. Oh, and by the way, with his legs too.
Yeah.
I think that everything you said was very fair to all parties involved. It's completely true. I mean, we are watching a real quarterback, a semi-traditional quarterback. The way I want to see this kid play the game, because I want him to have longevity, you want him to be a pocket passer who just on a few third downs a game just breaks the defense's back because they've been dealing with him in the pocket, and then all of a sudden it's 3rd and 13, you think a play's dead, and he breaks off 17 yards. And oh, yeah. You forgot that he can do that to you. Mm-hmm. If that's who he can become, there's not a sort of running quarterback in the league right now who I think on paper has a better skill set. Like, you know, I listen, Josh Allen has a toughness that we don't know yet if Jaden has, obviously, right? But Josh Allen also has a propensity for throwing a stupid pass that gets turned over. I've already seen enough. I know this isn't popular. I know everyone will tell you, oh, please, Lamar Jackson is the most accurate passer in the league. He's not. I've already seen enough to tell you that this kid is going to be a better pocket passer than Lamar Jackson is. I'm telling you, we've seen enough in 2 weeks in terms of what is in there, mm-hmm. that he could be a true pocket passer, not one who everyone's saying it because they want him to be a multidimensional quarterback. Sorry, Ravens fans. He's really great. But if it ends up being a game where he has to pass all day, y'all have problems. You do. I really do think, B. Mitch, he could be all of those things.
And I think the thing about Jaden, he corrects things and he learns quickly because they told him when you start breaking, look down the field. Yesterday, when he broke out the pocket, he did look down the field and throw some passes as well.
Well, the late touchdown to Terry that is like, you know, obviously feels like it's already becoming a forever kind of highlight. Earlier in the game, you know, Troy Aikman was killing Jaden for not, on a similar play, when protection got broken, not trusting where Terry was. The corner had fallen down, and Jaden put the ball in the wrong place. And then you just fast forward a couple quarters, a similar play on the other side happens, same side, and he ends up getting it just right. So maybe you're right, B. Mitch. He seems to be a kid who's listening, and it seems like he's listening with regard to trying to get down more often. We're not seeing as many of those forward.
He had a legit
fumbles.
Slide last night.
A legit slide, yep. After the first down. You love to see it.
Yeah, I think he's a young player in his third game, and even the level of excellence he's hitting is relatively unparalleled, and the growth game to game is incredible.
I know. But
it's
listen,
crazy.
We got to be careful. We're getting we're falling head over heels right now. All of them. We're sitting here falling in love. Just please protect this man. Please be patient, Commanders fans, and just whatever they can do to scheme him up in a way where he's safe. Obviously, you want to let him go out and ball. Like, he's got to do what he does. Yep. But he is still young, and he is still slight. Like, he is going to get bigger. Like, we will look at video of last night, God willing, in 5 to 7 years, you know, when he's sitting in the position of a Burrow or an Allen or one of these guys who everyone knows is one of the best. And when they show the highlights from this night, we'll be like, oh, my God, he looks like a little kid. He's got a lot more growing to do. So we just need to protect him until he does that because he is a small dude. But so far, man, he seems pretty tough. Not going to lie to you.
Oh, he's tough.
Pretty damn tough.
He is tough.
Peter, it is very fun to have you on in this scenario rather than asking you annoying stuff.
I loved it. You know what? Let's do it again, guys. I'm up for this.
All right,
let's do it again. That's our guy, Peter Rosenberg, one of the best game of fall at Rosenberg Radio, Hot 97, ESPN New York, WWE. He does it all, and through it all, loves his burgundy and gold. When we come back, we haven't heard from the head coach yet. Dan Quinn talked a lot about a lot of things and about his quarterback that gives this Washington team a chance every time they take the field. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Spirited, what did we go, 90 minutes there?
Yeah.
All calls. I hope everybody enjoyed their chance to chime in. I think it's fair to hear from the head coach. Now, Dan Quinn will talk again this evening, probably about 5:45. For those unaware, the Commanders players, coaches, staff, flew direct last night from Cincinnati to Arizona. Yep. So they probably got there. I mean, hell, that locker room probably cleared out about 12:30. I mean, they probably.
So it was nine. Is it 2 hours behind there in Arizona now?
Or three.
Three?
It's three right now.
So nine something. They probably got there around 3 o'clock.
They're probably sleeping right now. Maybe they're up by now. But the thought process here is that it allows them to have today to kind of acclimate in Arizona, and then they just practice out there. There's no question about, you know, flying to the West Coast and having to deal with time zones, because if you fly Cincy back to D.C. and then practice a couple days and then fly back out to Arizona on Friday, which is normally what they would do, it's just a ton of travel.
Yep.
You see more and more teams do this. The Chargers just did this. They played the Panthers and then stayed in Charlotte before a game against the Steelers. Basically, what this is about is a willingness to spend money, because NFL coaches, front office guys will tell you it's better for the team. It just costs a lot more.
I agree.
And these guys are willing to spend the money.
They don't mind.
They do not mind.
You gotta spend a little bit.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Take care of your assets.
Indeed. So let's hear a little bit from Dan Quinn last night. Obviously, you know, one of the play that sealed this win. It didn't win it, but he sealed this win with the touchdown throw to Terry McLaurin when Jaden Daniels knows he's going to get rocked in the pocket. For all the concern about him running outside of the pocket, he took a monster shot right in the middle of the pocket.
Hey, well, the big ones were in the pocket.
Let's try to keep that in mind, folks. Dan Quinn talking about the play that sealed it. Oh, I'm sorry, Landini. That would be number two.
I think, well, you make sense by giving those two a shot. And, like, they put the time in. And if they hadn't put the time in, you wouldn't have the confidence to go into that space. But of all the work they've done, you know, obviously we hadn't connected on some of the deep ones to Terry over the first two games, but we knew that wasn't going to be, you know, the case, you know, moving forward. So when we had our chances and our moments to go, we took it. But it was just a really good ball and great catch by Terry, too.
I mean, just a really good ball and a great catch.
Perfect place ball.
Just
and
perfect.
For Terry to lock it in place, go down, the ball did not move at all.
No.
You know, that's vitally important as well.
Totally. Now, a lot has been talked about with that touchdown, but let's not forget the first touchdown went to the big fella, Trent Scott.
Yep.
I love the play call. You know, they definitely did it on purpose. I think Scott actually said this in the locker room last night, Brian. I don't know if you noticed. That play call kind of came in late. And so when Trent Scott went and reported to the refs that he was eligible, the refs made the announcement, but everything was kind of hurried up because the play clock was going down. And the defense just kind of has to adjust and roll with that because it wasn't a substitution or anything. Jaden goes to Trent Scott. He hauls it in. Just a really cool moment for both Jaden Daniels' first ever NFL touchdown pass. I bet every person in America made the joke, that's going to be a trivia question one day. Sure, it will be. Dan Quinn, number five, Landini, talking about Jaden Daniels' first touchdown going to Trent Scott.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a record that your first touchdown pass goes to a offensive lineman, but I saw him coming off with it, so I thought that was pretty cool. But more than anything, you know, just executing down the red zone. Last week, obviously, we had some, you know, we're frustrated, not that we were making kicks, but frustrating that we were kicking. And so tonight to have the ability to score down there, I thought was huge for us.
And certainly.
You know, which come did a lot, too. The Bengals, they kept bringing in offensive linemen that were eligible.
Sure.
You know, and I think what happens in that situation, people think it's straight running plays all the time. Because you have more like an unbalanced line, you get a bigger guy in there to help you block. Every once in a while, trick him.
Just seeing this from Jeremy Reeves, he just tweeted this out. I woke up today and the first thing I thought about after thanking the Lord was how damn crazy that last throw by five was. Cover zero and dropped a dot knowing you're about to get teed off on. If standing on MF business was a play, kid is different.
That's it.
That's a hell of a
thing. I think, like, I really think, and I said it last night as the game was going on, like, we got to just let this dude play football. Because we are always talking about, well, we don't want him to run. He getting hit in the pocket harder than he does when he runs the football. When he runs the football, he has the ability to adjust his body, okay, and don't take the full brunt of the hit. When he's throwing the pass, he's just there to be tattooed by somebody.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I totally agree with you. You got to let him just play his game. And there's going to be some running, and that's part of who he is.
Yes.
And who he is great. So don't try to limit it. You know, I think the fact that he had a clean slide last night, it's his third game. Like, the growth, frankly, the growth I think we've seen just from Tampa to last night as far as staying in the pocket and making the throws is significant. Like, imagine what this looks like by week 10 or week 14. He's not going to stop trying to get better and stop trying to improve.
Nope.
I really liked DQ talking about Jaden. Number 11, Lamphill. This is what Dan Quinn learned about Jaden Daniels in last night's victory.
Dan, this might sound stupid, but do you know more about Jaden now than you did 4 hours ago?
It's not a stupid question. I thought he's continuing to grow on the job, and that is part of he and all his teammates that are the first year guys of growing and learning, you know, when to extend a play, when to get down, when to use his legs. Like a few days ago, I said, what'd you learn over the first two games? And it happened again tonight, you know. But as far as the competitor, I've known that. As far as talented, like arm, all that, I've known. It was good to see the next step of him, of you know, just having a mindfulness when to take the shot, when not to. And I thought that was so I did learn some more tonight, and he probably showed me also that you know, he's listening too and knowing the importance of that.
he seems like a guy that's listening all the time, B.
Yeah.
And, like, you look taking at, it all in.
I think Lanfield said it earlier. You look at him, how he's demanding, how he wanted to go for it, stay on the field. And for them to go along with it, he's shown them a lot more than what they let on. You know, we see the result here, but he must be doing exactly what they want him to do or saying the exact things for them to be like, hey, go for it.
100%, man.
Yeah.
I mean, to that point, play 10, Lanfield, on the confidence to go for it. 4th and 4, really with the game in the balance. You're trying to go out and win this thing. Dan Quinn talked about his confidence in his rookie quarterback.
I didn't, and I wasn't going to. We knew we'd have to be aggressive in the game, you know, to extend possessions, to give ourselves a chance. You know, that's why we thought the special teams, John, was a big piece of this from a field position standpoint. If there was a gap, if there was an edge to find, we were going to dig for it, and that included going on certain distances on 4th down when we were in that part of the field. We knew we didn't meet the mark last week in some of the red zone. Like I said, we were not bitching about kicking field goals and making them last week, but we knew that was not sustainable for us and what we wanted to do. So I thought the 3rd down in the red zone was going to be, you know, one of the areas that we really dug deep on and paid off for the guys tonight.
It certainly did, and I think he's right. Last week against the Giants, especially once their kicker went down,
yep,
they knew they could battle it out and just try to grind that win. Last night against the Bengals, when – I mean, they had 2 scoring drives that took less than 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to score touchdowns to keep up in that game.
Totally, totally. And, you know, when you have – I think the way Jaden was operating last night, where everyone – when he needed the 3, he'd run it, get it, boom, get down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you – and then he was on point with his accuracy. When you have that momentum going, you don't want to stop that. So when Coach went for it, I'm like, okay, now we got some aggressiveness going on here, and it worked,
dude. They needed it. To that point, 14 real quick, Lanfield, DQ, just about wanting to be aggressive on 4th down.
Say it, some of those 4th downs, you know, to kick, when not to. So it was probably very unique in that way. I don't know how many, if we had 3. Maybe 3 of them in the game. How many would have been punts? I'm not exactly sure on that yet, John. But no, I don't think so. But if there's in the right spot, this is a group that's capable of being in those spaces. And when we have our chances to, we'll be smart, but we will be aggressive. That's how our nature is. And, you know, when the moments are there, we're going to do it. We're not going to be foolish about it. But if we can be aggressive and take our chances when we can, we will.
It reminded me a little bit. I did the Howard Hampton game this weekend. And the coach, he said, I'm not opposed to punting. I'm just going to be aggressive. And then I looked up their 4th down stats. The man was 86%. So if you get to that at that high of a clip, you got to go for it every time.
Sure. I think, you know, there's times where you don't have much of a choice. And I think Washington really didn't have much of a choice last night. They played it aggressively, and it paid off with a big, big win. Mark Rippon joins us at 1 o'clock.
Rip.
Things happen. Bimich. Actually, Jeff, real quick. Is that dude, is Jay still on the line? He's been on hold a while. If so, put him on. But I don't know if he's still there.
No.
Okay. Jay, sorry about that, pal. If you want to call back, we'll try to sneak in. We're about to be joined by Mark Rippon, a fellow that knows something about offensive efficiency. Mm-hmm. That 91 team. I mean, the last time Washington won in Cincinnati was with Brian playing and Mark Rippon at quarterback. Pretty damn
long time ago.
Long time ago, man.
91.
Yeah. obviously, though, there was unfortunate news last night, this Eckler thing. Not good. And he is a really important player to this offense, a really explosive, dynamic player that had proven that he had lost 0 steps. It's funny, there's kind of this like running back renaissance going on right now with Kamara and the way Eckler was performing, certainly Saquon. I mean, Eckler last night was 5 touches for 57 yards. What's that good for? 10 a pop of touching the ball?
About 10 a pop. And then the 62-yard kick return.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he put him in great position. Right.
Totally.
Off the bat.
Standing, I noticed this earlier. Ben Standing tweeted out what he thinks was where Eckler maybe got the concussion. It was the only snap he took after the kickoff return. He's staying in Cincinnati with a doctor and a trainer. He also had I think he cut his ear. Now, maybe that's just his helmet kind of fell down on it. When you watch the play, it's hard to know that there's something definitive that happened. Collisions like that.
But is it the play after the kick return or the kick return?
The last play he's in the game, he gets a carry inside the red zone that he takes down the right side of the line of scrimmage, kind of like a scraper drag. And he gets hit hard, but it's nothing that honestly, I just dropped it in the thread. You can watch it, B. When he gets hit, there's nothing that you would think is particularly dramatic there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows the nature of head injuries. You don't know what happens, right? And we don't know if something happened on the play earlier, on the kickoff return, or what. I know that from an offensive standpoint, they'll miss him. But I think when you get to head injuries and stuff, it varies so much. The fact that he's staying in Cincy and that it's a short week, so it's not like, you know, it closes one day of recovery, and when you're in the concussion protocol, it's not about, like, the team's not in charge of that. That runs through, like, a separate outside mm-hmm. entity. He definitely got hit hard on that, but this is a wait and see for a veteran player with a whole lot going on, and, you know, he just developed his own app and all this stuff. I don't know enough to say when he's coming back.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, the concussion thing, one person could be back within a week. Other person may take 6 weeks. You never know.
Totally. You never know, man. And I think we're going to hear from Dan Quinn this evening. 5:45, I believe, is the time. I think DQ will provide an update, but I think folks need to be ready for not much information in this update, because when you're in the protocol, you can't say anything. That is the update. My guess is DQ is like, yeah, he stayed in Cincinnati. He's with doctors. He's in the NFL protocol.
He's with the people that can help him best.
Right.
Bam. That's it.
And a lot of times there's no real answer to that. I'm trying to think last night leaving the locker room. I didn't really see – maybe I'm just blanking on it. Were there any other real injuries last night, B?
None, not that I know of.
Yeah, I can't really think of any. Typically, I have a list of that stuff, and I don't really think there was. I mean, obviously, a huge injury in that game for the Bengals with Trent Brown. I mean, they're saying he's out for the year.
You can see when he goes to plant, his knee just buckles. So you knew it looked like, when you see that little tremble, that little vibration, some type of ligament or something snapped.
Yeah, doesn't seem good.
But he's 6'8", 380, and then they bring in a 6'8", 350.
They brought that rookie in that we were talking about yesterday.
Mims.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what did they get? They got some tree trunks over there, dog.
Yeah, they got, they're buying by the pound, I think. Let's do this. Quick break. Mark Rippon, Super Bowl champion, joins us next.